start with a roll call?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, let's rock.
Commissioner Sinapa. You say here.
I'm here.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Excused.
Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
And Supervisor Fritz.
Okay. All right. On to the next item. Approval of summary proceedings from June 20th, 2018. Is there any changes or corrections?
Not what I saw.
I was not here. Okay. I did have one question. I'm not sure if it's an error or not. On the last page, when we were discussing the creation of the subcommittee,
yes, ma'am.
It said, heard from Director Cullen, but I thought that Jerry also chimed in on that.
There was brief discussion amongst the group.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
It wasn't anything significant.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so that's it. So do I have a motion?
I make a motion to receive the file.
Second?
I second that.
All in favor? Any opposed? Okay. So approved. All right. On to the consent agenda.
Sorry.
We have
going to do that again.
Several items of correspondence, and we had only received one in our packets, and several of these are dated prior to the last meeting, so I'm wondering if it's a duplication or
no.
If there was a problem with us receiving them.
No. There was 26 or 27 items of correspondence. They were all exactly the same because it was just a form letter sent by every person sent the same letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What about timing?
So we talked about this, Nick and I talked about this last month, so anything sent in the month of June would be handled in this meeting.
Okay.
So, all right, yes. So anything that's sent in July will be addressed in August.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
You can talk to Director Cullen about that one. Like,
I will. All right. Okay. So, commissioners, how would you like to proceed with this? You want to see on the file?
I'm fine with proceeding with filing because we know what they are.
Okay. All righty. Come out. So, do I have a second? All in favor? Any opposed? All right. So let's all proceed with the file. Next, we have item B. Public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. We will have you come to the podium. We have the clock, and I would ask that everybody please have the courtesy to turn your phones down or off so as not to interrupt anybody that's speaking. And we're going to go ahead and change it up, and we're going to start at the back this time. So let's start in the back left corner. Anybody? Going across the back row? Anybody? Okay, second row from the back. Anybody there have any comments?
Hi.
Okay, third row from the back. Yes, ma'am. Second row from the back, come on up.
Susan Richardson. 93306.
Is the mic
yes.
on?
Yeah, it's on.
I can jump the ladder.
There it is.
That's a karaoke voice.
Just got to get it closer to your face.
All right.
I'm just up here because I'm still want to express some concerns about how things move very slowly within this commission. You know, I've been coming here for this time, I believe, in my 7th month now, and I got real concerns that it took 6 months to even vote on the subcommittee. And I still have to go back to my original question, is what has this commission done to really help the animals in this community and solve the problem that we're having? Because it continually gets worse and worse every day. We have not made a dent. Regardless of how many animals we send out of this county, we haven't made a dent. And I haven't really heard anybody try to come up with some solutions. And I think it's ridiculous that it takes us 6 months to agree to have a subcommittee to even explore this. I mean, that's pitiful. That's shameful for this board, in my eyes. Because we should be doing a better job in this county for everybody, for the community. Especially when you know committee members that are willing to step up and help with the situation. From my perspective, I disband this commission. Either that or get some all new people on here that can get things moving a little quicker. And you talk about the monthly live rate, it's great. Really, I don't give a damn about your monthly live rate. What I care about is what is the live rate overall for the animals in this county. And many of you know who are at the shelter, you know we ain't making a dent. And yet all the rescues are pulling their path, we're sending dogs out of the county. Get how many? I get owner surrenders that never go to the shelter. I get strays that never go to the shelter. It's horrendous now. We're getting starving dogs. Not just the one that was on the news, but one that came into the shelter about 2 weeks ago that didn't make the news. So I think we need to start doing a better job. And your boss needs to learn how to respond to emails. Because I have no issue going up above his head. And you can let him know that if he's been here, I've told you myself.
Okay, one quick comment for you is that you just started coming here 7 months ago, and lots of things have been done, so that's all I'm going to say.
I just want to comment.
Excuse me, this is not a debate.
I would ask that you please have a seat. Thank you.
I did want to make one comment.
And you're absolutely inappropriate. Your behavior is horrible.
Absolutely, the statistics do show it has improved greatly, the problem. And if you're taking in animals that aren't being taken to the shelter, then perhaps that's the problem, is we can't help those animals. We can't keep them on the, you know, see what's happening with them or anything else.
The commissioner is talking. Please allow her to speak. You'll have your time.
I do believe it's not a
good one. So what you're saying is...
Enough!
But we can't respond.
Yeah, no, this is not a debate. You get 2 minutes to make your point, and then we're going to discuss it, and then the next person's going to go get their 2 minutes. That's how it works. That's the procedure. That's the process. Thank you.
Commissioner Taylor. I just wanted to clarify that, like I said, the statistics do speak volumes. They have changed a lot since Director Cullen has begun, so... they kind of speak for themselves. And what's going on outside of the shelter, we can't keep track of. So there's no way for us to help with that anyway.
Thank you. All right. Next person for public comment. Third row? From the back?
That's it.
Everybody done on the second row from the back?
Anybody else? No.
Under the mic, please.
Angela Rodriguez, 90312. I'm not up here to argue. And, you know, we are all here for one reason, and it's for the benefit of the animals of our community. Yes, statistics are what we have on paper. And saying that we're not aware of the situation that street rescuers are stepping in to help. You guys were well aware of 90-something dogs on a property in Moscow. You did the responsible thing of calling, 20? And guess what happened to the rest of them? It was rescues that stepped up. Yeah, they never hit your numbers. And you guys knew about it. So to say that you can't speak what happens outside the shelters, you absolutely can. Just turn on the news. Talk to a 501 Greasy Rescue. And find out what they're getting. Take the time, go out there, drive the streets, and see what's going on in your community. Spend 5 minutes with me out in East Bakersfield, Oildale, and I'll show you what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to work for, to find a solution to stop this. It's a vicious, vicious cycle. We're sending dogs out of the state because they don't have the same issues that we do, because They have responsible pet ownership. They have responsible regulations in place to protect their animals. We do not do that here, and it's sad. And I think it's time that we all stop fighting with each other and work together and really come up with a solution. And that subcommittee was a step forward in helping that situation. And I would really like to see it progress so we can really, truly make this county a no-kill county. But the way we're going now, it's never going to happen. So, that's my 2 minutes. Thank you.
But we are at the point of a subcommittee. So I would like to see everyone work together.
Yes.
That would be that's very nice.
At the end of the day, that's all we want. So.
Third row from the back. Okay, next row.
Michelle Vallejos, 93311. I saw this on KCAS Facebook page, so it was public. A woman had left a message, and it was a concern of mine, so I'm going to read it to you right quick. Her name is Bridget Towns. This was July 13th. Quote, I was told by two of your officers that I have too many dogs and need to rehome them before my court date. I was told you would accept them for $20 each. I contacted to make an appointment and was told your first appointment is August 6th and you could only take two at a time. The court date your officers gave me was August 3rd. I left a voicemail with the supervisor to ask for an extension and have never been contacted. I'd be happy to pay the $20 a day. Please contact me. She never was responded here and was never responded through her voicemail that she left. So my concern is that she wasn't being responded to when she's, number one, trying to do the right thing. But her dogs are not altered or vaccinated, and she was told she needed to rehome them before her court date, which means she would be rehoming unaltered, unvaccinated dogs. That only perpetuates the issues we have here, which we are all trying to say no to. And I always hear how the condition of the dog is what makes it, I don't know what word I'm looking for, so that a dog can be seized. It's the condition that matters. Well, her dogs are in really good condition. I do not approve that they are unaltered or unvaccinated, but they're in good condition. She does have 15 dogs. I'm in contact with her now. I wanted to know if she had got a response by yesterday, which she hadn't. I'm working with her and a few other local people in rescue who are trying to make it so we can vaccinate her dogs and get them fixed and hopefully send them off to rescue instead of hitting the shelter, which I think would be great for everyone. It's just going to take a little bit of time, and I don't know how she can get her an extension if no one's responding to her, because they have to be rehomed before her August 3rd court date. The AC can't take any dogs until August 6th. I know no one can respond to me because I'm not her. I have her contact information. If anyone can or will, I don't know what to tell her, and I don't know what we can do for her without knowing.
May we get a copy of that?
I have it. Do you just want me to write it down on the paper and give it to you? Okay, after I will. And that's it. Thank you.
And I would refer that to someone. Mm-hmm.
I can speak on that right now, actually.
All right, thank you.
I spoke with her yesterday multiple times via email, and she's been referred to our Save the Pitties program, and we normally only offer 4 vouchers per household for that program, but because of her extenuating circumstances, we have offered her 17 vouchers to get all of the dogs fixed before she rehomes anything.
Okay.
And her court date is for license and back. It's not to rehome
it's not
the dogs.
Okay.
Right. So we're working with her to get everybody spayed and neutered and get her licensing at the altered rate. So
okay.
We are working with
that's
her.
That's good. And I'm not saying that she was like, no one's not contacting me. I think she's really confused as well. It's a very confusing situation. So I figured I'd bring it up. Thank you.
And we don't want large breed dogs all over the county not spayed and neutered either.
Well, awesome.
Thank you. Next.
Hello, my name is Wally Bevel. That's B-E-V-I-L-L-E, and my zip code is 93308. Recently, myself and a few other people in the audience here went out to Delano, was it 10 miles away from Vernon's, and courting situation there, nearly 30 animals. The most concerning thing is that we found a dogfighting/cockfighting arena as well as a tree sling to use for bait dogs. Now, the physical condition of those animals was sub-acceptable, and all of those animals have since been rehomed except for, what, two or three, I think it is, that they refused to surrender to us. And we did all of this on our own without getting anybody else involved, except for HSUS as well as ACT-E and a couple other organizations have been formed because of the dogfighting arena and the other articles and stuff that we found out there. This is not an isolated incident. You could go 5 miles in any direction from that particular little six trailer cluster out basically in the middle of nowhere. These people are forced to live in situations that they're appalling. I mean, it's disgusting, you know, but they live there, they work there, and they're treated subhuman. They can't complain about the living conditions because that's where they work, and that's and they can't say anything about the animals because their boss, what the heck is he going to do? You know, but just so everyone's clear, and if you didn't know, situations like Burns and like in Delano, they exist. And unfortunately, I might have contracted valley fever because of the trip out there. Okay. So this whole thing and the condition, I cannot take the antifungals to fight. So this might have very well cost my life. So I hope the subcommittee and everybody else takes this stuff serious, because if I die and nothing's done, then I'm going to come back and haunt everybody. So that's all I got to say.
So I know that there is I'm not sure if we're going through, if there needs to be a vote as far as forming a subcommittee, but I want to let everybody know.
It's already formed.
Yeah. Oh, it's already been formed.
Yeah. Well, it's been determined that we're doing it. We're going to make a determination.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to make a statement that I would like to be on this subcommittee. I want to work with everybody here to make sure that, you know, we can address these situations that all of you folks have been coming to these meetings for the last couple months, and I have been told that, you know, the subcommittee is something that even the director is in favor of, and so when we move forward with that, I would like to be on that subcommittee to work with all of you. And as far as I know, Angela commented on having some of us go out with her and maybe look at, you know, the situations within East Bakersfield and within other areas in Kern County. I'm willing to go out. I have been out with Angela before. We've gotten dogs out from under woodsheds and things like that. So I'm willing to come out and see what the conditions are for all of you folks that are getting dogs from out in the streets. And I want to thank you all for doing that. And I want to also thank staff for everything that you guys do as well. But I am an open line of communication to any and all of you. If you ever need to get in touch with me, you just let me know, and I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can to make sure that all of you are satisfied.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments from commissioners? Okay. Next person.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Samuel Grijalva. Last name is spelled G-R-I-J-A-L-V-A. I live at 1841 East Panama Lane. What I'd like to address tonight is an ongoing issue that's been happening for about 2.5 years, where my neighbors, who are present, some, my wife, we've had an ongoing issue at 1955 East Panama. I contacted Leticia Perez's people back in March of 26 with a letter basically stating the fire department has been out 6 to 7 times and with citations of legal burning, and what they're burning is chicken manure, cow manure, horse manure, goat manure, and prevailing wind unfortunately hits one of my neighbors because she's got the prevailing, but we do get it on our property adjacent to this individual. We've had code enforcement out there at least 8-9 times, animal control, and sorry for the comment, but lack of response of animal control. I mean, you can see horses that are malnutrition, that they're exceeding the numbers, the legal numbers, and this is by an inspection that was done on the 13th of this month by Bolton, C. Bolton, who's on code enforcement. It's just an ongoing issue. Why does it take two and a half years to try and get to some kind of resolution? He's got illegal structures. He's got chicken coops 24 feet from my guest house. The law says 30 feet. Why do I have to tell code enforcement that it's 30 feet? I just brought it up on an email. Everything's documented, and I've sent it to Ms. Perez's people, particularly Chris, is who I've dealt with there. I forgive you that, or forgive me for not knowing his last name. Nevertheless, with that, what I'm asking for, and in the letter, and I've also contacted the U.S. Humane Society, is that we want a ordinance passed like 12 other counties in this state, San Diego, L.A., and a lot of them up in Northern California, to stop having no more than 6 roosters on a property, other than if it's 4-H or FFA. Because this individual claims that there are all these pens in excess of, I don't know, let's say 30, 40. And I know I'm over my time, but it's a really good point. In excess of 23, he says these are all showbirds. And he's not leasing out these pens. They're all his. And when code enforcement, Mr. Bolton, asked, well, do you have the key to this lock? No. Why are all the locks different? Why is that? I mean, and he has personally told me, you know, Mr. Grohl, back off, and I'm renting these out. It's going to take over a year because I've got annual leases.
Okay. Your time is up, and a lot of this has to do with code enforcement. Are you east of Wheat Patch, or which side of?
I'm east of Wheat Patch. Or no, west of Wheat Patch.
West. Over
I'm at Cottonwood and east.
Okay, all right. I know it's where you're at.
And, but the, again, what I'm asking for is, regardless of all the violations, wasting animal control's time, fire department, code enforcement.
Well, this is certainly something that I believe we can take us under subcommittee.
For
creating
an
ordinance. At all?
Different rules. I think we can definitely look into our call history. Do you have the address of the property?
1955.
That's the property.
East Panama.
Okay.
Zoned area.
So we can
and I know that Ms. Perez's people have reached out to code enforcement. You were out there on, or code enforcement was out there on.
But that's not us, sir.
I understand. I know she's trying to, or you guys are trying to resolve the situation. What I'm trying to get is something to mitigate it.
Okay, well, that's what staff will deal with. Animal services can deal with the animal side of things.
Okay. Can I comment on that? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it's just. You've already gone quite over. If we could have staff address it with you, would that be sufficient?
Okay, if I could comment on that.
Okay.
What it is animal control works, 8 to 5, I think it is? Mm-hmm. When you've got 40, 50 roosters over there, and yeah, there's a couple of hens, all they're crowing is from like 5 to 9:30. We can't get them out prior to 8 o'clock.
Right.
And that's where it's, I mean, it's at first morning, first light.
So you're more concerned about the number and the noise than anything else? It's not about
conditions? Oh, no, it's the noise, it's the smell, it's the
okay, well, burning. That's something that they can certainly address. So I would like to allow them the opportunity to discuss this with you and work with you on it to see if they can help you resolve some of it.
Okay, but we've already been in contact at least, I don't know, 4 or 5 times online and Mel.
15 or 20 on me.
With animal services,
yes.
Or with because animal we have nothing to do with the zoning aspect of code enforcement. None of that has anything to do with us. Okay. We can deal with the ordinance as far as numbers, condition, things like that, and that's certainly something that if staff directs us, we can include in the subcommittee.
Correct.
Okay, discussion.
So then are you saying in the subcommittee portion?
That is certainly something because we're going to be reviewing ordinances.
Okay,
so that would be something we're going to discuss in a little bit as far as the ordinances.
Okay, as far as the ordinances, but what about the codes that are currently on the books for animal control?
Ultimately, we have recommendations that we make. We're going to go through ordinances, and then if anything is involving code or planning, then that has to be addressed at the planning level, which we might be able to reach out to do. We've done that in the past on other situations.
No, I totally understand your point. I guess what I'm saying is, and we hear it in the higher level of politics, is that there's laws on the books. In essence, there's codes, there's ordinances. But if they're not enforced, why do we have them?
Thank you. Yeah. More point. We need resources.
And actually, that's what the subcommittee is looking to do, is get together with the community and some of the commission board members and review quite a few ordinances. We're already looking at reviewing animal or horse sheltering. That's already been looked into, and we're continuing to look into it to rewrite an ordinance to add stables horse boarding. But that's what this committee is all about, is to try to update some of these ordinances that need to be updated. So it is coming, not fast enough, but it's coming.
But are you saying that there's going to be resources to enforce existing codes?
Yes, that's the goal, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you guys have to get, are you lacking resources as far as i.e. capital to hire more people to enforce? Because
I'm sure that's always...
Well, that's always an issue. We're dealing with county government.
But if let's say, for example, if Melanie's had them out at least 15 times, I've had them out, half dozen, and we know that there's these ordinances, but they're not cited with them.
Well, I wish we could address what was done when they were out there.
Yeah, we
can't. I don't know if you can address...
I don't have specifics
on
that.
We need you to work with animal services on the animal aspect of it. And again, anything that has to do with code enforcement or planning. That's a whole different department from us. Zoning, that's a whole different department. We're going to do what we can on the animal side. That's our goal.
So as a part of the subcommittee's agenda, you will look at putting the no more than 6%.
That's something that you want to propose? We can certainly look at it. The subcommittee will be looking at a lot of different things.
The number of animals will be addressed as a whole.
Sir, can you restate your name for me? Just
last name is Grijal. Grijalva. Victor Alpha.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
All right, thank you. Next. Back row there? Okay. Moving up.
Hi, Terry Kahn, Tax Street. There was a dog in Arvin, a black Great Dane, I don't know if you heard about it. A service dog who worked with a guy that has epilepsy. Do you know what she found out? What bothered me is that there was a dilemma of finding her. That the people in contact, they said they contacted animal control and were told that the officer that deals with Arvin is stuck in the courtroom for today and maybe tomorrow. I don't know, jury duty or testifying, I don't know. And I said, wait a minute, number one, there is not an Arvin officer.
The other
is animal services.
The city of Arvin has their own officer. And so all of the city of Arvin, they work through their own officer. Their officer brings their animals when they impound them to our shelter. We have an agreement with them.
But they do have their own officer. I couldn't find it anywhere on this Arvin City website.
No, they have their own officer. He comes in and drops off animals on a regular basis, and we send them a bill.
Okay, that's why I just wanted to clarify that, because I couldn't find him. Like, wait a minute, what are they talking about here? Okay, all right, thank you.
Is there only one?
Yes. They have one officer.
One
officer?
Yep.
So Arvin has no animal control when he's busy?
Apparently not. Okay.
Superintendent Kern Humane Society. Not very much to tell, except that we start our financial year on June 1st, and since June 1st, Kern Humane Society has issued 58 vouchers for emergency situations and 600 vouchers for the spay neuter program. it just, aside from that, I've been pretty not busy.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you. Liz? Okay, that concludes public presentations. Next, we have staff announcements and reports.
Things are brief. So I'm just going to highlight a couple of things that we did in June. 422 animals were vaccinated as a result of our low-cost vaccine clinics in June. We were busy with several adoption promotions in June and adopted out 766 animals, 98 of those on our just one day animal promotion. We were very excited about that, and we wrapped up our events on assemblyman promotion. And of note, we will be having an adoption promotion with Supervisor Maggard on Friday and Saturday this week. Volunteers donated 3,177 hours in June, for totaling the approximate amount of 18 staff members. And field services ran a total of 1,194 calls in June. We're busy and happy with our results.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think he is out, so okay. We'll include that with mine.
All right.
And move on to Spain.
And Spain or Fun Sunday?
$250,000, and if you see at the top, we of the $250,000, we spent $285,000, which gave us a $35,000 overage. And then if you go down to where it says, let's see, where is it? There it is, down towards the bottom, where it says trust fund amount $33,000. So we only bumped up over a couple thousand between the $250,000 plus the $33,000. We were able to take care of all of that spay neuter. We also, in addition to that, used Petco funding largely for our World Spay Day, where we did 150 surgeries. And then for our Save the Pitties until that money ran out. And then we milled the Save the Pitties into the $250,000. And so, when I do the budget here, it'll only change like 15 times during the year.
You're a bean counter artist.
You know? I mean, one of my favorite Dilbers showed the way the accountant does the budget, and it's literally pulling numbers out of the sky. You know, he had what they call a random number generator. So, you know, that's what I do. So I have a random number generator, and this is what we do. But anyway, we were able to do all of those surgeries, and if you go to the second page, I added that. So this is a comparison with what we did in the prior fiscal year, compared to this one, and this I added not only what was on the front page, but I added the number of surgeries that were done because of adoption, and say that we had a 10% increase overall in total spay-neuter surgeries for the year, and much of that is because Dr. Wilson is a surgery spay-neuter machine, and you walk in there, and the staff are running around, and one of them looked at me and she goes, "I can't believe how fast she is." Right? So, you know, and then I just look at him and say, "Yeah, you better talk nicely about her because I love her." Okay? So this is where we are. We're up 10% over the year for the whole year, and the number of surgeries we did. Any questions about
the spay neuter.
Yes. All right. Next, we have commissioner announcements and reports. And I would first like to have our latest and newest member introduce himself.
My name is Neil Sinoppa. I feel like a lot of folks in here already know who I am. I am excited to get some work done. I don't really have too much else to comment on, but as I said earlier, I am an open line of communication, so anybody in this room can contact me at any time about anything regarding animal services, and I will be there for you.
Thank you. And thank welcome. You.
Thanks.
Looking forward to working with you.
Can I ask the commissioner a couple of questions?
Sure.
Are you able to give an email address and a phone number now that people can write down?
Yeah, of course. So my email address is neelsanapa92@gmail.com. That's neelsanapa92@gmail.com. And my phone number is 661-699-8954.
And could you describe about how long you have been involved in animal welfare in Kern County and what exactly you have done for
So I first started volunteering with the animal shelter when they first moved over to the Fruitvale shelter when the county and the city split. And then I moved towards working with a few rescues, Marley's Mutt's Dog Rescue, co-founded No Kill Curran Dog Rescue, and have just been active within the shelter. I actually helped create the socialization program within the shelter to train volunteers to take dogs out, walk them, and everything like that. So if you have volunteered at the animal shelter and have gone through the socialization course, I helped develop that socialization course. And other than that, that's basically it. But Liz, I want to thank you as well for recommending that I sit on this commission. So
we're allowed to ask a question?
All right.
We're allowed to ask questions, right? Because Liz did. We can ask questions.
It is the chairman's discretion to call on people.
So we can ask questions? Is it?
I would say yes.
Yes. I was curious to know what attracted you most about sitting on the panel and what you hope to accomplish during your time.
Well, I knew that there was going to be a vacancy. Several people asked me to sit on this commission, and animals have always been a passion of mine. And I know that, you know, a lot of folks have been coming to these meetings, and I feel like someone from the rescue community sitting on this board would be beneficial. So that's why I'm here.
All right. Okay. Okay. All right, that concludes the commissioner comments. Next, we're on to old business. Staff recalls none. Livestock Entertainment Subcommittee.
I'm waiting for the next meeting with Nick and Lisa and Jerry.
All right. And then, next, discussion about appointing members of a subcommittee to address ordinance changes. We've already determined that we are creating a subcommittee. We as a commission need to determine the structure of that committee. Typically it's been, in the past, a subcommittee, two commissioners. The services director has offered to sit in as well. And on this particular commission, we have members of the public that we've agreed to participate. So we need to determine the number of people that will participate and the manner in which to determine those participants.
That's a good question on coming from the community. We've got a boatload of people who are very interested in doing it, so I'm not sure how we narrow that down unless you guys have
I think what my experience has been in the past, irrespective, you want to keep in mind what the commission and what the subcommittee is for. And ultimately it comes down to the commission makes the recommendations to the Board of Supervisors. The subcommittee make the recommendations to the commission. And so once recommendations are made and things are determined that we want to move forward with, ordinances, should it be, we have a process where we make the determination of the ordinance, how we want it to be written, etc. It's then submitted to county council, or county council then make sure the legal needs is appropriate. It's brought back to the commission, and then at that point, if we want to move forward with those ordinances, there's an entire public process where we have to go to each supervisor's district and have public forums. So there will be a point where the entire public will be able to, again, comment, participate, etc., once determinations are made from this commission as of the results of this subcommittee. So I would recommend that, you know, we want to keep the subcommittee somewhat small so that, you know, we don't have a zillion people and this thing goes on for years, because the last time we did ordinance changes, it literally went on for
2 years.
Oh, no, more than that.
Well, it took 2 years to get it to the...
Yeah, it took 2-3 years.
And then another 8 months, I think, to do the public comment.
Yeah, it was a very time-costing process, you know. So I know all of you want something now, like yesterday, but the reality is that there is a process and procedures that need to be upheld and adhered to. And so we as a commission right now need to determine the number of public members that we want to have on this committee, and then on the subcommittee, and then ultimately the process in which to choose them. And given, I know there's a lot of interest, it might be warranted to have people go ahead and submit a request introducing themselves, their experience, and the reason why they'd like to be on the subcommittee.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. Like I said, a lot of interest. I think we also have to need to determine how often this group is going to meet.
Exactly. There's and if you want to put a sunset on it as far as when you want results.
Well, if it wasn't all red tape.
Well, the subcommittee, the only red tape is everybody working together to come up with some recommendations.
Okay.
It's after that it gets messy.
Yeah. Jerry can attest to that it isn't going to go quick, and I'm sorry, it's just a fact that it's just... The subcommittee can go quick, but once we get into everything else. So, other questions?
Suggestions or thoughts?
I think that the having people submit requests would be great.
Okay.
I think that would be a really good idea.
Okay.
I think that's the best way to move forward.
Okay, perfect. And then do we want to make a determination on how many members of the public to include? Four?
Five? I think no more than five. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. I think probably run. Okay. How do you feel about that, Neil?
I think that's good. So how many, so are we having two commissioners?
We have two commissioners. Director Cullen will be sitting in, and then the members of the public
that
participate.
Eight total.
Right.
That seems good.
So
eight, yeah. Okay. Madam Chair, do you anticipate that Director Cullen would be a voting member of the subcommittee or ex officio?
Ex officio.
Okay. Because that, in terms of numbers, is very important.
Right.
Whether you have even numbers or odd numbers.
Correct.
Correct.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay, so then we need a motion.
I make a motion to have the community members.
Madam Chairman,
yes.
We need to open it for public comment.
I was going to do the motion then open. Public comment first.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. All right, so we're going to start at the front and work our way back this time. Anybody? Okay. Jerry?
Well, I can definitely give my opinion. Sure.
Okay, so that would be seven altogether then that we were talking about?
Seven and
two.
Nick.
And Nick.
Plus
okay.
Nick.
But Nick would be not voting, because the problem with even numbers is that then you can just have two sides and nothing gets done at all.
But it would be seven.
It would be seven plus one.
Seven plus one.
Yeah,
okay.
Seven voting.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Cool.
I suggest meeting once a month.
Once.
would be my suggestion.
It'd be nice if it could be before the this commission meeting.
Yes, like the week before, maybe?
Well, no, but that would be the day of.
Okay.
Judy, anything? Next row?
Do I have to go up to the podium?
Yes.
Liz, I'm sorry. Okay. Next row?
Do I have to stand up?
Yes, ma'am. You need to identify yourself just as you would before, 2 minutes. Okay.
Stacy J 93306. I would just like to ask the commissioners that when they are looking at people's submissions, that they please keep in mind to have a neutral, nice balance between belief systems in this room. I'm not sure exactly how many people that are advocates for this subcommission actually want to be a part of it more than they'd like to see it be done. But again, I would just ask that. I understand that we have people that are newer here, and it seems like we get a little bit of flack for being newer to the scene. It seems that others feel that they know better than, or you know, I hear a lot of scoffing and laughing as other people are talking in towards the back of the room. And again, I just ask that we find a balance. I think that's very important, that you have a balance of people that are pro ordinances and a balance of people that are against ordinances. And I think that's the best way that you're going to have satisfaction on both ends, and that you'll truly give this community, you know, a fair shot so that they're asking for, and to just be very balanced in the decisions that you make.
That is the intent.
And I don't think that, there's many people in this room who don't see the need to have ordinance revised and updated. So I think a lot of us are on the same page.
All right. Up to the microphone, please, ma'am.
Hello, everybody. I'm Melanie Burkhart, 93307. I just wanted to be very important that it's not only a large or small animal issue as far as the subcommittee goes. Large animals need to be considered. I'm a large animal vet tech by trade, 18 years. How to handle a small animal on a committee versus a large animal in housing is completely separate. So I just think it needs to be a mingle of both large and small committee.
And we have a committee that's working on the large animal side of things.
Just specifically the large animals.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Melanie, can you spell your last name for me?
B-U-R-K-H-A-R-T.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Same row? Anybody? Next row? Next row? Back of the room? All right. Okay, so then we need a motion to determine.
Okay, so I'm making a motion to have the community members who are interested in sitting on this committee please submit information on your interest.
To?
That's the question.
Should we have it sent to, well, we should probably have it sent to our email.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The email. Email.
Excuse me, breathed in the wrong way. The commission has an email address. Have it sent to that email address. Amber knows it. I don't.
I do.
And
yes, I can get it. Give me 1 second.
Yeah.
It's
online. And you will need to probably request name, address, phone number, and a brief statement as to why they want to serve on the committee.
I'm looking for an email. You can carry on.
It's on the website.
The link is on the Animal Services website, for sure.
AnimalServicesCommission.com at Kern County.
No.
That sounds like a question mark at the end, Liz.
It's KernCountyAnimalServices.org is our website, and then there's a link for the commission.
Just look it up.
It's Animal Control Commission at KernCounty.com.
I still think it's Animal Control Commission.
Yeah,
it hasn't been changed yet. Or ever. I don't think
okay.
They're going to.
All right. Okay, moving on. So we need to have, number one, some committees already been approved. We want to have a determination of the number of members.
Okay, so it sounds like at this point we're in agreement that there should be 5 community members, 2 commissioners, and Director Cullen as a non-voting member of the subcommittee.
So moved.
Pardon me?
Is she making a motion?
I'm making a motion.
Yeah, we're working on it. There's a few steps to it. First is the number of people.
Right.
Second, it's how the public throws their hat in the ring.
Mm-hmm. Just to their interest.
Right. Just to make your attorney feel better, can
yes.
we do them one at a time?
You want to do one at a time? Okay. Yes. Of course. Okay, so the first thing is...
I want to make sure I got everything covered.
That actually helps me, too, so I'm fine with it.
To review the ordinance. Five community members, two commissioners, and...
We can do that.
All right. Second? All in favor? Any opposed? Okay, that's one down.
Okay, and the five community members who are interested should submit their interest on the commission email before the next meeting.
Yes.
A second.
Can I ask about that?
Yes, ma'am.
I think... Ms. Gale, proud resident of the 5th Supervisorial District. Along that line, I think you need to put a deadline by mm-hmm. which time
yeah.
this information should be submitted. In other words, somebody doesn't come marching in here at the next meeting and throw something at you.
Okay.
And I think that the commissioners among themselves, if it's going to Animal Control Commission, who handles that?
Nick does. Nick and I do, yes.
Okay. I think then that you need to send, as they come in, to each of the commissioners so each of them knows who is applying, where they live, what their interests are. And I would suggest the deadline being a week before the next meeting, which would give the commissioners a chance to look everything over. You can't, unfortunately, Jerry, am I not correct? They can't meet to go over it. So unless it was an
effort. They can't even meet by email if it implies they reached a consensus outside the public venue.
Right.
So there's just
right.
on the
15th. Yes.
And then the question is, when do the commissioners and how do the commissioners get together to appoint the 5 plus 2.
At the next meeting.
It has to be
in public.
Yeah.
Public.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If there's more than two of them, it has to be in
so,
mm-hmm. there has to be an agenda and all
so
that.
It would be done as an agenda item at on the next
month.
I
meeting.
Just want everything to be very clear.
Yeah, yeah.
So that there is no I didn't know I was supposed to send it in.
So we're going to motion to carry on item number 2F2 so that they can further discuss the members of the subcommittee.
Correct. And make
right.
the appointments.
And make the appointments.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And your deadline would be August 8th.
Correct. The other item I'd like to bring up in regards to this, when we talk about members of the public, they are not merely the people who show up at these meetings. There are any number of members of the public who are very interested in a subcommittee, in ordinances and stuff like that. I think that it may not need to be said, but it needs to be posted on the website. And if you can, put out a press release so that the telly stations, the radio stations, the newspapers, in every nook and cranny of this 8,000 square mile county can run the announcement with the information that if people want to be considered for the subcommittee to review the animal ordinances, so everyone's clear as to what you're doing, you're not just sitting around twiddling your thumbs and having a beer or whatever, needs to send and then specify the information, because if all we do is talk to each other, we're getting no place. Okay?
That way we've gotten no place.
Thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you. Jerry, I have a question for you. So the subcommittee, right now we're saying review the ordinance. That's huge.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
It's huge.
So are we talking about reviewing the number of animals? Are we going to specify what we're looking at?
Can I respond to that?
Yeah. I'm going to respond because I listen to the meetings 50 million times over. Last month, Commissioner Madigan had a list of items. She gave everybody, made it available for everybody, a document. She had met with a couple members of the public and talked about some issues they were concerned about. I think it was a handful of issues. So I think that's where
we started.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
I think that's what she suggested.
No. I believe, and I'm not positive because I haven't listened to them at all, but my recollection is it was to form a subcommittee to review, I believe, the commercial animal facility ordinance.
That was one of them.
That was one of the issues.
Tethering came up.
Well, yeah, but the thing is,
tethering was one of them.
It depends on what the motion said.
Right.
So
there was no specifics. There's a motion to create a subcommittee.
Then it can be anything you want. As long as it's an ordinance.
If we stay blanket to cover the whole thing, I think we're going to have to start with the major concerns right now that need to be addressed right now.
And that would be up to the subcommittee.
Okay, so the subcommittee can decide.
Determination.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Excuse me.
Okay. All right, so we're working on our second. Okay, still the second one. So we're still on the second one. We need to get that one through. So okay.
That anyone in the community interested in sitting on those five positions should submit a letter of interest to the Animal Services Commission website by August 8th. There should be some ability to get this advertised and spread out to the general public so everyone can be aware.
Commissioner Geary, you can make a separate motion for staff to prepare and release a news release.
So we want content.
Okay. Name,
address, phone number.
Okay.
So
that
experience and reason we want to be on.
Okay, anyone interested in sitting on the subcommittee? Five members submit your interest, naming your name,
specifics,
interest, background, by August 8th.
In August 8th, is that what it was?
Address, phone number.
Thank you. Address,
mail. Okay. Email.
August 8th.
All right. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, second. All in favor? Any opposed? Okay, number three, publicity. You want to tackle this one?
Yeah, take that one.
All right, so I make a motion that Animal Services get together a public service announcement to get out to the public on radio or however they come up. I'm not sure.
Commissioner Taggart,
rather than a public service announcement, could you please word it as a press release?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So to
create a press release.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect.
To all known media outlets.
Yes.
Right.
And that means you hear that Spanish in the radio.
And that it be posted on the department's website. And any other places that are appropriate.
Friends.
Okay. Go for it.
All right. So, and also that would be not to all the media, including the Spanish speaking media as well, and to also.
All right. Posted on the website. Okay.
Yeah, so posted on the website as well.
Right.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, next. Frequency of meetings.
I'm thinking once a month, and it would be nice if it was the same day as the commission meeting.
Ultimately, the committee can make that, subcommittee can make that determination when you all get together and what's going to work.
Okay, so it'll be determined by the committee members.
Okay.
Excuse me. Real quick.
Yes?
Is it okay to vote with Mr. Blackburn gone?
Yes.
Can I just make sure?
Yeah, no, he's in the hospital.
He's okay. Oh, he's okay?
He's fine. It's a procedure. It's okay.
Okay.
He have to have three of the five to vote.
Okay, right. I'm just making sure.
Yeah, we have a quorum, so we're good. Okay, so we have a motion for one time a month, or just we'll leave it to be determined by subcommittee?
I'll make a motion that the frequency be determined by the subcommittee once they're formed.
Perfect. Do I have a second? All in favor? Any opposed? Okay.
Could I suggest then that you should put in that the first meeting will be held on such and such a day so that...
Not at this point.
Well, the subcommittee still has to create before they can make that determination. So
okay, so you'll appoint them at the next meeting.
Right.
Then they get together.
They'll all decide.
They get together when? Next year?
No.
10 years from now?
Well, they will make that determination at the next meeting.
Well, they could put in that they require that there be an update at every commission meeting.
Yeah, it'll be a running thing on
the agenda.
Somebody will have to give some kind of report that they're not doing something.
It'll maintain. Now, do we need a motion for this to continue on the agenda?
You will need a motion to continue it to next month's agenda for the selection of the appointees. Mm-hmm.
Next.
All right.
Who can submit that one?
You're up, Neil.
I'm not exactly sure how I'm supposed to word this. So,
motion.
To continue.
You can always say motion as stated by council.
Okay. That works.
Motion stated by council.
Okay.
Or Alan.
You never told us that.
She's been holding back on you guys.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Any opposed? Okay, so then the last thing we need to determine, we can just determine all the members next month, or should we go ahead and determine the two commissioners now?
The way the motion was worded for next time, you can do it next time if
okay.
you want.
All right, that's good. Okay, so I think we've covered everything that we can cover for right now on this particular...
I believe so.
All right, cool. All righty.
You guys are killing me.
I think so. All right, on to new business. We have a presentation by Jarius Bradley on meeting procedures. Agreed.
Okay, Jerry Bradley. I am the Deputy County Counsel representing both Animal Control Services and the Commissioner. I thought that since we have one new member and one relatively new member, and we didn't do this before, it might be helpful for all of us to go over general procedures for the Animal Control Commission and what is expected of both attendees and the commissioners. One of the first things that I need to remind you, the commission is an advisory board. It is their job to meet with the public and communicate to the Board of Supervisors, and that's why the meetings up here are a bit more informal than what you see down in the Board of Supervisors. The other thing you have to remember about Animal Services Commission is it only covers the unincorporated area in the county of Kern. If you live within the Bakersfield city limits, we have nothing to do with the rules that you are required to abide by. If you rescue an animal within the Bakersfield city limits, we can't do much for you. You need to talk to either the Bakersfield City Council or Bakersfield Animal Control Services. And I'll take questions when I get done, okay? The point being that this board only governs the unincorporated area of the county. Any city, not just the city of Bakersfield, but any city that has its own animal control services, we have no jurisdiction. There's nothing we can do. The discussion in here really should be concerned with the county and rural areas. Okay, this commission has to follow the Brown Act. And that means a lot of things, but for general purposes, it means that any item that is to be acted on by the commission has to be on the agenda. Any item that is not on the agenda can be brought up by the public under public presentation. but you are limited to 2 minutes. Anything brought up in public presentations, as it was not on the agenda, cannot be acted on at that meeting, but the board members can refer it to staff, can post it for the next agenda. There's a number of things that can be done, but they can't vote on it, and they can't take action on it that night unless it was posted in an agenda. And I'm not recording that. Let's see. As you come up to speak, well, let's start here. The items on the agenda will be called. The chair should then call for public comment, then commissioner comment, and then any necessary action should be taken. I cannot stress enough, this is not a free-for-all debate. Okay? If you have something to say, you have 2 minutes to say it in, come up to the podium, and make your case. And when you come to the podium, state your name, any business association you wish to acknowledge. You don't have to, but you can. Although it's a tradition here to state a zip code, it's not necessary, it's not legally required. Although some statement that you actually live in the county of Kern is probably, or anywhere in the county of Kern is probably helpful. Once you've done the name thing, it's probably a good idea to give just a one-sentence summary of what you want to talk about. And that way you get everybody's attention and we all know what the point you're trying to make. So tell the board what the subject matter is and then what you want to see happen and then give your presentation. The two-minute limitation is set by the commission to keep the discussion moving and because we have limited time in the facility. However, everything that goes on here is subject to the discretion of the chairman. So she can extend a discussion should I can't talk tonight. Should she choose to do so? She can also call in people out of turn should she choose to do so. That is up to her, and it is part of her job as the chairman. Aside from that, please be courteous. Don't interrupt other people. Avoid the free-for-all discussion. When you have a less than helpful comment, probably everybody in the room would appreciate it if you did it under your breath and away from the microphone. Any questions?
I know that most of us here, when it comes to the animal stuff, we are very well aware of the difference when it comes to jurisdiction from city to county when it comes to the animal stuff. So we understand that. The unfortunate part of that, and I always go back to it when I hear things like that, is that what's fortunate for the county is that I'm a city resident. So any county animal, dog I pull off the street, city handles. Which, like, that's a rough one for us to accept. That's the way it is. But I always, when someone says that, I want to balance it with that, too. Because I pull a lot of dogs out on the streets in county jurisdiction. And if I took them to the shelter, it would be Bakersfield City, not county.
And so the dog that you take to the shelter is subject to the statutes appropriate? In the city of Bakersfield. I can't do anything about the way the law works.
No, I understand that. I just want to point it out. That's all.
And my only reason for saying that is that any discussion about things that happen in the city of Bakersfield is pointless here because we can do nothing about it. Okay? Any other questions? Yes.
I mean, you mentioned that the chairperson can use her discretion to decide if people can talk outside of public presentation and to have a debate, so to say, or, you know, a conversation. And it just seems like there's a lot of times, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know if anybody else feels this way, that if somebody kind of on this side of the room talks out of line or talks as they're walking away from the podium, they're yelled at, they're told that they have to stop and don't talk, but other people are allowed to just talk, I have a question real fast, but if I was to do that, I would be told I'm not allowed to talk. And so it just seems like there's a little bit of an imbalance in the treatment that people receive in the room. I think that's, like, for myself, where one of the frustrations lies is that there's a handful of people in this room that can talk at any time that they want. And they can talk over their two-minute limit, and the chairperson allows them to. But I noticed that somebody's walking away from the podium, they're told that your 2 minutes are up, you can't talk anymore, but yet during a non-public presentation or when it's not even a debate time, other people chime in and they're allowed to, but then we're over here raising our hand and we're told we're not able to talk. So it just feels a little unfair. I know that, you know, you're laughing, you think it's all funny and everything.
No, actually, I was just thinking,
me and laughing because she was like looking at me and laughing at me.
No.
She's talking over me as I'm talking when you just got done telling us all to respect one another when we're talking. So again, it just feels that if I was to interrupt somebody, like I just got the gavel. But when somebody
else does it,
it seems like there's nothing wrong with that. That's all I want to say is an observation.
Okay. And I'm sorry. I just want to make sure. I tried to tell Liz Keough not to say anything before, and it doesn't work. Okay? That's why I was smiling. And we're done. Any other constructive questions? Yes, sir.
Can I make a motion that we have a vote of sergeant-at-arms position? I'll volunteer for it, too, by the way.
No, that's why I call security.
Okay. Right. One comment, ma'am?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes?
You were asking for constructive comment, and one thing, okay, I'm new to this. This is my first meeting for a commission, and one thing that I would say on all parties, you know, whether you're addressing the commission, I would say that try and do it in a constructive way. I think all of us are here to try and ultimately push our agenda, not that we have to agree. And again, this is me looking from the outside now in, I see it on both sides, try and be constructive. So like when I approach, I'm trying to be constructive about it. Yes, I have my agenda. Yes, I think certain things don't happen the way I would like. I would like to see things happen faster, but by creating, let's say, animosity, it's actually non-productive. So maybe a self-reflection on everyone's part on how you can be productive and ultimately get your agenda, or at least part of your agenda. Naturally, in a group setting, not everyone, you're not going to have full consensus, but maybe, you know, we can all get our little part in. So that would be my constructive comment.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you.
Okay. And let's see here. Last item under new business, briefing on referral from the Board of Supervisors concerning conflict of interest.
Jerry Bradley, Deputy County Counsel. There is a handout at the front that is kind of a cheat sheet for conflicts of interest analysis. It is the one that has government 27100 on the front page. And then the second page is the analysis that I use in determining whether there's been a conflict.
No, they're gone.
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
Okay. Conflict analysis are governed by three separate areas of the law. Government Code Section 1090, which basically deals with contracting, government contracting, and conflicts within those areas. There's Government Code 87100, which is the Political Reform Act of 1974. And then there is common law conflicts, which relies on case law. In addition, there are rules governing the acceptance of gifts by a public official. Because the Animal Services Commission does not have the power to contract, Government Code 1090 is really inapplicable. So we're basically looking at Government Code 87100, which is the Political Reform Act. It was passed in 1974. It requires reports of receipts and expenditures and campaigns for state and local offices. Also not relevant to this discussion. It limits expenditures for statewide candidates and measures. Also not relevant for this discussion. There's stuff about lobbyists, not relevant for this discussion. It prohibits public officials from participating in governmental decisions affecting their financial interests. And that's really what I was asked to look into, because it's the only thing that's applicable to an animal control commission commissioner. What 87100 says is on the handout in front of you, and it says no public official at any level of state or local government shall participate in making or in any way attempt to use his official position to influence a governmental decision in which he knows he has or has reason to know that he has a financial interest. So, the referral from Supervisor Scribner was specifically an allegation against Commissioner Anderson. So I analyzed her situation relative to the allegation involved the mandatory spay-neuter subcommittee. So that's how, that's the governmental decision I was considering in doing this analysis. The first question is whether or not the individual is a public official. The answer to that is, and I'm going down the checklist that you have, the answer to that is because the Kern County Animal Services Commission is an advisory board, she is only a public official if the commission's recommendations are routinely adopted over an extended period of time. That was actually a fairly difficult question to ask. The recommendations were accepted shortly after the commission came into being when the ordinances were revised. I could not find anything in the Board of Supervisors' agendas which indicated another recommendation had been done after that, but I think we have to accept the fact that because the Board appointed the Animal Services Commission specifically for this duty of reviewing ordinances and listening to the public, that yes, their recommendations would be followed. So therefore, Commissioner Anderson and all the other commissioners are definitely public officials. Second question, is the public official participating in making, or influencing a government decision? That's defined in various codes as negotiating, advising a decision maker through research, investigation, preparation of a report without significant intervening review. Well, that's exactly what the commission does for the Board of Supervisors. So the answer to that is yes. Does the public official have one of the following nine types of economic interest? I reviewed Commissioner Anderson's Form 700. She has an investment in her own business, and she owns personal she owns real property. Is there a personal financial effect? Well, there is if the decision results in an increase or decrease in personal expenses, income, assets, or liability in an amount of $250 or more in a 12-month period. And that also includes the financial effects of immediate family. In the context of creating a mandatory spay-neuter committee, I could not find a significant financial interest. In the sense that it's the appointment of a committee. It's not a vote on mandatory spay-neuter itself. So I don't see how anyone had a financial interest in the creation of a subcommittee. Is the economic interest directly or indirectly involved in a government decision? This analysis goes beyond the general determination of conflict and focuses on a particular decision. And again, this was a motion to form a subcommittee. It is difficult to see a conflicting economic interest in such a motion, even though the subject of the subcommittee may have that issue, but that will, that is a, something I look at a little bit farther down the line. Will the governmental decision have a material financial effect on the public official's economic interest? Again, looking at it from the creation of the subcommittee, probably not. MSN, that's questionable. And again, I'm going to address that in just a minute. And it has to be reasonably foreseeable that the economic interest will be materially affected. The material threshold depends on the financial size of the entity. It is a material decision when it will have an effect on gross revenues, assets, or liabilities of the entity. It is material when the decision will permit entity to avoid expenditure. So, for Commissioner Anderson, if the formation of the subcommittee would have an effect on her business inventory, her assets, or her liabilities, we would have an issue. It doesn't. And just for the record, issues with real property are presumed not to be material so long as it is not a question of development or sale of that property or a property located within 500 feet of a property she owns. And here's where we get down to the question of mandatory spay and neuter. Is the potential effect of a governmental decision on a public official's economic interest distinguishable from the effect on the general public? Now that we're talking about a potential effect, we can discuss the fact that the failure to create a subcommittee to look at MSN potentially affects whether or not MSN is going to happen at all. The problem with that is, in addition to being reasonably foreseeable, there is an exception to the materiality rule. And that's called, they got the same deal I did rule. And so basically it says, if the decision will affect the general public's financial interest in the same manner as the official's, then the official does not have to abstain from participating in the decision. That's Government Code 87103. Public generally means a significant segment of the public. That's California Code of Regulations, Section 2, Title 2, Section 18.77. Fair Political Practices Committee has a specific percentage and number of thresholds. However, if an official is appointed to represent a specific interest group, the interest group is deemed to be a significant segment. The official's interest must be affected in substantially the same manner as the interests of all members in the group that is determined to constitute a significant segment. So, I don't know if Janice was appointed to represent readers, just district, what district do you?
I
don't know the answer to that, but what I do know is that as far as MSN goes, Janice is not going to be affected any differently than any other breeder in the county of Kern. And even from what your group has said, number of breeders in the county is large. I can't determine if it's a significant segment, though. And you can narrow it down to breeders, licensed breeders, regulated breeders. You can narrow it down to specific kinds of breeders. Okay? The thing is, when the MSN information was presented, there was an exception for breeders. And there was a fee that was less than the $250 financial interest. So I can't find anything in all of that that puts her in conflict in voting on the MSN issue. I'll answer your question. Thank you, then. Okay. Even if there were a disqualifying conflict of interest, the public officials' participation may still be officially required. Generally, that's when you don't have a quorum, and if they don't vote, you won't be able to reach a decision. So my conclusion is, at least on the issue presented, there is no conflict of interest with respect to Commissioner Anderson participating in a mandatory spay-neuter vote unless it specifically singled out breeders without the exemption of being able to get a permit. As for a general conflict of her participation on this commission and her participation with many of the legislative groups she volunteers for, there is no financial interest. She is a volunteer for these groups. There's no compensation. She is not a compensated employee. She is a volunteer, and she does work for the organization. But again, I can't find a financial interest. And if I can't find a financial interest, I cannot find that there's a conflict. All right. Questions?
How far back do recordings for this commission go? I've gone back as far as 2008. Are there?
I don't know. Do you have any questions on this presentation?
Well, I have a statement that is in response to that.
Okay. Well, then wait for public presentations after for public comment after that. Okay.
Okay.
Do you have a question though?
No.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And yes, you do have to ask for public comment.
Okay. So now we will go through public comment. You had a question?
Comment.
Or a comment.
Do you
need to come to the podium? You need to come to the podium.
Sorry.
And we need to push something.
Michelle Vallejos, do you know if there are recordings for 2007?
I don't believe there are. I think they started in 2008.
Yeah, that was long before my time. I do know whatever is on the website is what they have
now
for recordings. Yes.
So, unfortunately, this is now hearsay, but it was told to me in response to this whole thing.
And it's hearsay, and I can't consider
it. I know you can't, but I want everyone else to know.
We already said it in the Board of Supervisors chambers.
I didn't.
Somebody did, because it's on the tape.
Well, we will say it here then, that you said you weren't going to vote on something or didn't want to pass something because it would affect your business. And you can look at me like that, but we all know it's true. Look, it's unfortunate that we're not going to be able to pinpoint it, but I don't think that we're going to stop lying.
It's true.
John Payton. I've been coming to these meetings since their inception. It seems like it was the last century when this started. I've missed like three meetings in 15 years. I think it's been 15 years. When these meetings were going till midnight, if we were lucky, we got out by midnight. I've never heard that statement come from Ms. Anderson's mouth or anybody else's. We've been through a lot, but I've never heard that. So, just saying.
Thank you. Wally Beville, BEVILLE, 93308. The only question that I have is for Mrs. Anderson. Ms. Anderson, what is your capacity for the AKC?
As far as what?
What do you do for the AKC specifically?
I don't do anything for the AKC.
So you're not the anti-legislative chair for the AKC?
I belong to the Newfoundland Club of America.
Are you the anti-legislative chair for the AKC?
No, I'm not. I'm the legislative liaison for the Newfoundland Club of America.
So you're not the AKC's anti-legislative chairperson?
I believe she answered that.
She already answered it.
All right, so that's on the official record, right?
It is.
Okay, that's what I was saying.
Can I explain what legislative liaison is?
Be my guest.
Maybe we're getting off that.
It's her job.
I'm a liaison to four clubs.
But we're talking about Ms. Anderson. Why shouldn't she explain it?
Do you want to explain what a liaison
is? Yeah, I think it'd be great.
We're getting off track.
Okay, I'm gonna defer to council. Any other questions or comments?
Do you have any affiliation with Anderson Acres?
I own Anderson Acres.
Okay, and do you have any nonprofit 501c under you?
I do not.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right.
I'm done.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
You have to receive and file first.
I'm sorry.
There was presentation one and presentation two.
I make a motion to receive and file presentation one and presentation two.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Next.
I make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
See, all right. The film's full.
We're going to be on the tail of 15.